Father, thank you that you are a speaking God, and we pray that you would speak to us through your word tonight, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, it's coming to that time of year, which very soon, whenever you go to a shop or buy something, somebody will say, well, are you ready for Christmas? Well, the question on the programme tonight is not, are you ready for Christmas? But it's, are you ready for Jesus? Are we ready for Jesus when he comes back to this world? Chapters 24 and 25 of Matthew's Gospel are all about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, as that passage John read, we're in Matthew 25. And what we're doing here, we're looking at how Jesus compares his return to that of a bridegroom returning for the wedding feast. And just in case we sort of get the hang of the story that Jesus told, we're not entirely sure what the wedding customs were, I don't think, in those days, but the general idea seems to be that the wedding had sort of two parts to it. And first, that the bridegroom and his friends, they would head off to the bride's house, and they would claim her, and then they would bring her back, and they'd return to the groom's house for the marriage feast. And the idea here is that the groom has claimed his bride, and he's on his way back home for the feast. But there's an uncertainty. There's an uncertainty about the time that he's going to arrive. Now, in our day, we tell people when to arrive. We tell them quite precisely. But not in those days. And in those days, the wedding celebrations would begin when the bridegroom arrived. Today, it seems to be when the bride arrives. You know, that's when things start. In those days, it was when the bridegroom returned with his bride. It could be any time, over a number of days, or even weeks, apparently. And during that time, the bridal party had to be ready for whenever he came. Don't know if we've been involved in any sort of wedding planning recently, but not to know the time, day, week would add significantly, I think, to the stress of the occasion. Anyway, as he heads home for the feast, he and his bride would have been escorted for the last part of the journey. Well, verse 1, waiting for him in the parable are 10 virgins, meaning unmarried girls. They're not necessarily bridesmaids attending the bride. They could be servants of the bridegroom's house. They could be friends. They could be relatives. And as the bridegroom might come at any time, day or night, well, what they've got is they've got lamps with them. And I don't know what springs to mind when we hear the word lamp. We're not talking here about some elaborate metal construction. We're more sort of what we might have, a sort of garden flares type thing, the torches, basically a stick, and you'd wrap a cloth around the end. And the idea then that the rag around the end would be soaked in oil. And in the story that Jesus tells, verse 6, at midnight, the cry goes up, here's the bridegroom. And of course, at that point, it's all action. It's all activity. So verse 7, the virgins wake up and they trim their lamps. Trimming, I think, means sort of putting their lamps in order. So in other words, they'd have lit them to get them going. And the scene changes suddenly, as it does. It's like a sort of firework display, doesn't it? When it goes from darkness, suddenly you've got all of these flaming torches. And the party starts as the bridegroom comes home. But there is a problem. And it's a problem for some of the virgins. Verse 3. Their torches were going out. It may be they put oil on to start with, but because of the delay it's dried out. It could be they never had any oil. Either way, the foolish ones have no oil. And their torches were going out. So either sort of burning too quickly, like string burns quickly, string in wax, a candle burns slowly. So So they have a problem. What do? Well, they try to scrounge some oil from the wise virgins, but that doesn't work, so they then set off to buy some oil themselves. And verse 10, in the meantime, the bridegroom having been announced, he appears, and the wise virgins, well, they go into the banquet with him, and they enjoy it, wouldn't they? That's what they've been waiting for. And the foolish ones, when they eventually get back, verse 11, they're shut out. They were too late, and there's no chance of admission. So what do we learn from this? Why does Jesus tell his followers this parable? Well, three truths for us tonight from this parable. First truth to remind ourselves of tonight. Number one, Jesus will return. Jesus will return. Verse 1, at that time, says Jesus. As I said earlier, these two chapters of Matthew 24 and 25 are all about Jesus' return. So the at that time of verse 1 is the at that time of the previous chapter, verse 30. Just flip back over the page. Matthew 24, verse 30. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. Or Matthew 24, verse 36. No one knows about that day or hour. Verse 1 of our passage. At that time. That time, that day, that hour. That is the time that the Lord Jesus Christ will return. And he speaks repeatedly of a specific time, a specific day, when Jesus is coming back. As the bridegroom in the parable returns, so Jesus will return. As the bridegroom was absent to begin with, so Jesus, whom we can't see now, will return. As the bridegroom seemed a long time coming, verse 5, well, so Jesus, who seems to be a long time coming, will return. Often said, isn't it, that we live in a time of great uncertainty. I guess every generation says that, I think. I don't think there's anything unusual there. And it's true. There is huge uncertainty in our world. We look ahead and we just don't know, do we? But in these chapters, Matthew reminds us there's one cast iron certainty, that Jesus will return. I don't know where we are in our thinking, but tonight is just a chance, isn't it, for us just to step back and to ask ourselves that question: have I forgotten that? Because it's so easy to buy into the world's way of thinking that things will just carry on as normal and normal. And the reality is, says the Lord Jesus, I'm coming back. I wonder if we've remind ourselves of that. I think we need to. That's the first truth from this parable to be reminded of tonight. Jesus will return. Second truth, verse 13. We don't know when Jesus will return. Verse 13, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. He's speaking, isn't he, to his followers, and he tells them they just don't know the day. They don't know the hour. It was one of the things that Jesus himself did not know. And if he didn't know it, and they didn't know it, we're not to speculate on exactly when it will happen. But people do, don't they? Newspaper article, 27th of March, 2011. The end of the world is nigh. 21st of May, to be precise. That's the date when Harold Camping, a preacher from Oakland, California, is confidently predicting the second coming of the Lord. At about 6 p.m, he reckons 2% of the world's population will be immediately raptured to heaven. Newspaper article 22nd of May 2011. It's fair to surmise that today did not go entirely according to plan for Mr. Harold Camping. For starters, he woke up. Verse 13, we do not know. Could it be today? Could it be tomorrow? Could it be, well, of course, it could be any time, couldn't it? You don't know. Now, of course, it's easy to ridicule, it's easy to mock people like Mr. Harold Camping, and he's clearly mistaken in what he's trying to do, and there's no way that we should be doing that. But I must say, I do admire his eagerness and his alertness and his looking forward to the coming back of the Lord Jesus. We'll come back to the implications of that in a minute. First truth, Jesus will return. Second truth, we do not know when Jesus will return. Third truth from this passage is that some will not be ready. Verse 10. While they're on their way, that's the foolish virgins. While they were on their way, to go and get their oil. In each of the three parables that are in this chapter, there's an absent figure. And when the absent figure returns, there's a separation. And in the parable tonight, the separation is that some go into the wedding banquet and some are left outside. And why were they left outside? They were left outside because they weren't ready. They weren't prepared for the bridegroom's coming. And in many ways, as we realise, they were identical to those who were ready. In fact, if we looked at them, there would have been very little to see in terms of the difference. All dressed the same, probably. They'd all got torches. They were all waiting for the bridegroom. They all went out to meet him. They all fell asleep. They all woke up. They all trimmed their lamps. But only five went to the feast. There was a line drawn down the middle. Five were ready. And five of them weren't. What's the problem? Well, five had oil, five hadn't. We've got that. Some commentators think that the absence of oil was a significance in that it symbolized a lack of God's Spirit. Well, that may be true, but may also be pressing the analogy a bit too far. The main point is simply they just weren't ready. And because they weren't ready, they missed out on the feast. And of course, it's a picture. It's a picture that when Jesus returns, when he comes back as the bridegroom, he will take his bride, his church, to be with him in the so-called messianic banquet, the feast of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But in the parable, some of the virgins were not ready, and that's the warning, isn't it? Some, in the passage, in the parable, they hadn't made preparations beforehand. And so it will be with the coming of the Lord Jesus. Some in our world have not made preparations. Some people might ask, well, does that really matter? Is it really that important? And the answer is, yes, it is. The virgins who missed out on the return of the bridegroom, they missed out on the wedding banquet. And there are people who will miss out on being with Jesus in heaven. And if we think that isn't bad, well then the other two parables in this chapter make it clear that being outside the banquet, it's the same as being in darkness, it's the same as being under God's punishment. Jesus will return. Second truth, we don't know when. Third truth, some will not be ready. So where does that leave us? Well, two pretty obvious questions. First one is, are we ready? Are we prepared for when Jesus comes? And that's the challenge, isn't it? That Jesus issues at the end to his followers. Verse 13. Keep watch, because you don't know the day or the hour. We're not to get this wrong. Keep watch doesn't mean literally keep awake. We've thought about that already, as if sort of avoiding sleeping is the answer. Neither does it mean we sort of abandon all the normal patterns of life and we just sort of sit there waiting for the end. Well, while we wait, we have to shop, apparently, eat, cook, clean, work, sleep, and so on. In the parable, all slept, wise and foolish. The foolish, were not reprimanded for being asleep, were they? The foolish were foolish not because they were asleep, nor because they were doing the things that are done in this world. They were foolish because they weren't ready. They'd taken no provision ahead of the time for when that day comes. In the Bible, the fool is the one who says in his heart there is no God. It means if we are to be ready, then we need to take provision, don't we? Ahead of time. We need to be ready now for something that hasn't happened yet. And the challenge of the parable, I think, is that this can't wait. The frantic last-minute activity of verse 8 of the foolish virgins was no good. Leaving things to the last minute is too late. And the warning here is that there is a time coming when actually getting ready will no longer be an option. Are we ready? That's our first question. And the second question is then, how do we get ready? How do we keep watch? What does it mean actually to be ready for Jesus to return? And I wonder, as we've been thinking through this tonight, I wonder, has your mind initially gone to sort of that great list of things that you've been doing that actually Jesus would be quite pleased with, actually? That's a relief. You know, I've been doing sort of quite good this week. Well, perhaps it's a surprise, but I think the answer to that question, how can we be ready, is in verse 12. Jesus replied to the foolish virgins, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. They're chilling words to those left outside. But the words explain the difference between those who are ready and those who are not. Who are those who are ready for Jesus' return? They're the ones who know him and are known by him. We're ready for Jesus to come if we know him. If we know him as our Lord and our Saviour. We know we're ready for Jesus to return if we're trusting him for forgiveness. If we're trusting him to rescue us and to take us to be with him for his banquet. This may be a stupid thing to say, but the Apostle Paul got it right. And as the Apostle Paul looked ahead to his death or the return of Christ, he wasn't sure which would happen first, he said this. He says, I want, when Jesus comes back, I want, and I wonder how we'd finish that sentence. I want Jesus to look at all the good things I've been doing. No, the Apostle Paul says this. I want to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. When Jesus comes, the issue for Paul and for us isn't going to be, have we done enough good things this week, having a righteousness of our own? It's going to be, am I trusting in the righteousness that Jesus brings and be found in him? And as Paul waits for Jesus, well, he shows that he's ready. Why? Because he's trusting in the forgiveness that Jesus brings. And if that's us, if that's what we want, to be found in Christ, if that's us, if we're trusting in the Lord Jesus, well then, like Paul, we're ready. We're keeping watch. It's a trust, of course, that will spill out into action as we long to live for him. Not to earn our place in heaven, but in response to what he's done for us. And the other parables say more about what that will look like. But just for now, are we ready? How do we get ready? We're ready if we're trusting him. And I know that many of us here this night are doing that. And if that's us, keep going. Keep watching. Keep trusting in the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus. There might be one or two tonight who maybe we're visiting, we're not sure about all of this. Maybe we're not sure if we're ready for Jesus, actually. Well, if that's us, there's one or two little booklets. They're on the table at the back. I think they had them last year. They're free. Just do take one. Christmas in Three Words just explains how I can be ready for Jesus, because it explains how I can come to know Jesus for myself. Do take them if you'd like. Jesus will return. We don't know when Jesus will return. Let's make sure that we're trusting him and ready for that day. Amen.